Welcome to the Visible Policing Podcast, where we explore the nature and impact of the visual in relation to contemporary crime and policing. Well, welcome to Dr. Miller de Camargo, who's joining us today from Kingston University, where she's a senior lecturer in criminology. Welcome, Camilla.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. So can you just, you know, perhaps begin with, we're very interested in, you know, the work that you've done around the kind of uniforms and visibility and policing in those terms, but also the stuff on dirty work, I think, is really quite interesting. And the sort of your insights into the kind of emotional life of police work, if I can put it that way. How did you get interested in that kind of area?
I think it's like most things. You don't really know where your work is going until you're actually there. And it's a funny story, which I've been told not to tell in other professional circles, but it is the truth. When I was at university, a friend of mine, and I say friend, and it wasn't me, signed up to a dating website called uniformdating.com. Not trying
Where's to plug
this
going?
It here. And I was really interested to see what it is about certain uniforms that evoke certain emotions and feelings in people, and why some uniforms generate different feelings and reactions. So that really got me thinking, certainly, and that generated an interest in talking about the police uniform when I was interviewing some police officers for my master's dissertation. And they would say things like, you know, it's really strange on the first day that I put my uniform on, you know, how proud I felt to be a police officer. And then it was strange taking it off at the end of the day, you're just back to your normal self. And I was thinking, what is it about these clothes that symbolises authority to these people? That what does it mean to them? Because, of course, clothes convey meaning in society that go far beyond clothes themselves. They perform a function and create power relationships between different people. So it really got me interested thinking about different colours of clothes, different styles of clothes, different jobs. So I looked further into this for my PhD, and things have stemmed from that ever since.
It is fascinating because it's not even, well, I don't know. I mean, it's not all uniforms either, is it? I mean, you know, the range of kind of uniforms that people seem to take notice of, you know, I suppose kind of medical people, military people, police, but that's probably about it.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it is, I think when you're thinking about the semiotics of clothing, like when a man appears on TV in a white coat with a stethoscope around his neck, the audience needs no explanation to his role in medicine.
Yeah.
So similarly, when men in camouflage clothing are seen with, you know, accoutrements like weapons, the audience at least have an indication of what they do. And I think that this is where my interest in police uniforms come from, is that often children don't need no introduction to what they are, who they are. And it's not the people that are wearing the uniforms themselves, but it's actually the uniform that tells people what they do.
Yes. And certainly some of the work we've done sort of suggest that as well, that there is a kind of rite of passage element to the officers putting their uniforms on, and especially for the first time, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we've been doing it recently with police officers, and they're kind of, you know, it's almost a kind of informal ceremonial element to it, really, you know, putting on the garb and suddenly feeling that you've got a different identity, which I suppose you have, really. So what did you, what form did the work take then? You said it was a master's and then the PhD, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, this led on to thinking about the different uniforms within the police themselves, because I started looking at some studies around the uniform, and I found that a lot of the studies that have been done are based on public perceptions of the uniform, which is all very interesting and also very important. But what did police officers feel about their uniforms from the inside? And I noticed that there wasn't any research on this at the time, which either was very silly to take on or very clever to take on, because the fact that it had not been looked at made me think there must be more to it. So when I started to ask officers how they felt in their uniforms, it took some real pulling out, because officers would say things like, "Oh, the, you know, the material's rubbish, it doesn't wash very well, I don't like the colour." And I was thinking, that's not really what I'm getting at here. I want you to think deeper about what it symbolises to you when you put the uniform on. What are the different aspects of the uniform? It's not just about the pants and the shoes and the top, but, you know, the different ceremonial uniforms, the different hats that they put on, when they wear their stab vest. All those things make up what it means to be a police officer in very different ways. Because, of course, within a modern police department now, we have lots of different roles and lots of different uniforms. And this kind of goes against this whole idea of what a uniform is supposed to be. A uniform is supposed to be uniform. And we have never had a national uniform across all of the 43 police forces in the UK. There's no one uniform that's the same.
No.
So, you know, what does this mean for public understandings of what it means to be an officer? And I think that this is what has developed into the papers that I have written or I'm planning to write about this, you know, plural policing landscape where security guards now look like police officers. I was thinking about this podcast today and thinking, when I was at Euston Station, I thought it was in Sainsbury's, and there was a man by the door in what I thought was a police officer's uniform, and I looked a bit closer and he was a security guard.
Yes.
I was thinking, wow, that uniform is just so similar. And is this what we are trying to do now?
Yes.
I mean, my whole first paper was about PCSOs dressing very, very similarly to police officers, and was this a deliberate attempt by the government into making the public think there was more police officers on the streets than what they were? Because it was all about increased visibility, wasn't it? This is what the public's insatiable demand was for. But of course, that comes with its own problems.
Yes. So what do you think in terms of the, you know, in terms of how officers felt about the uniform, could you identify, were there ways in which their perception was different from the public perceptions, perhaps? You said before that there's a bit more work done on, you know, public perceptions and so forth. But did the officers have a different kind of take on it compared to the public perceptions, do you think?
More of a sense that I found that certainly during the first few years, the feelings of pride when they wore their uniform wore off quite quickly, or it became part of their working personality, I suppose, that caused them to separate their work and home life. And they kind of forced themselves to take the uniform off at the end of the day. And, you know, this is how this dirty work paper came about, because it was the shedding of the contamination, the feelings of symbolic contamination from work. You know, try to separate their home life from their work life, and they found that very, very hard.
Right.
And I think the longer someone is a police officer, the harder that is.
But taking the uniform off was part of that process, was it? In the way that, you know, you might come home and have a shower after work or something and, you know, wash off the day kind of thing. It was that
yeah,
sort of
sure.
process,
I mean,
was it?
There wasn't, like, I suppose the difficult thing with ethnography is there's no tick box exercise where they all take their boots off or they all take their stab vest off. You know, everybody had very personal experiences of feeling clean or feeling like they weren't at work anymore. You know, some were okay just to go home in their uniforms, no problem. Some had to get changed at work straight away, have a shower straight away. But, you know, this, the way that I'm explaining it makes it sound like they didn't want to be a police officer and taking that uniform off was important to them. This is more leading into thinking about the dirty work contamination side of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the original source of interest was certainly around the feelings of authority. And I can only say it from my own experience that when I was doing my PhD field work with Greater Manchester Police, I had to wear a stab vest for a lot of the time I was out on neighbourhood policing, and it's really quite seductive that feeling of authority when you put that on and people think that you're a police officer.
Yeah.
And often, you know, I found myself not correcting people when people would mistake me for a police officer. And I thought, wow, this is quite a powerful feeling, really. And I can imagine how that sort of seeps into your personality, certainly after a while. So I can totally understand why that's hard to shake off at the end of the day. Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, there's this argument, isn't there, about police culture being either formed before people join. You know, there's a certain personality type of someone who enjoys the power trip or something like that, putting it very crudely. Or, you know, on the other hand, there's the whole argument that it's actually the nature of the job that makes people like that. What you're suggesting seems to be that it's not the nature of the job as such, or not only that, but it's actually just the symbolism of the uniform perhaps partly makes people feel like that.
It's arguably the most, you know, one of the most recognisable uniforms of all time. You know, everybody would automatically recognise a police officer, I would say. So I think that, you know, the symbolism is so entrenched in the uniform, and it's not just about the clothes themselves, it's everything that goes with it. It's the police cars, it's the insignia, it's the, you know, everything they wear, handcuffs, the tasers, everything that is involved in that adds to this effect, I think.
And there's a lot of discussion nowadays, isn't there, about the range of equipment that officers have to carry on their person and the body-worn, you're not mentioning body-worn cameras there, but, you know, all of those other things. And actually that means a certain sort of practical set of things come into play in terms of the design of the uniform and having the right number of pockets and things for people to hook, you know, hook their kit off and all of that kind of thing. Is there a sense, do you think, you know, did you get any sense that officers felt differently about different types of uniform or different, you know, hats, for example? Some places they seem to wear baseball caps, some places they seem to wear the more traditional ones. Did they reflect on that at all?
I'm not a fan of the new baseball caps, but certainly when I was doing my research 6 years ago, that wasn't a thing in Manchester. I noticed that it's certainly more prevalent now. But even, you know, I work in London, but I live up north. So even just coming down once a week and seeing the difference in what police officers wear in London with their white shirts and the ties versus, you know, police officers in Manchester, for example, wearing the black vest tops.
Yeah.
It's very different in terms of what they want to portray. And I always found this quite surprising that they don't have a more standard idea of what it means to be a police uniform. Certainly it's moved, you know, we had a very casualised uniform in the 90s and then it's moved to a more professionalised uniform. Some forces have now moved back. So it kind of feels like nobody really knows what they want. And certainly the officers that I spoke to in Manchester complained that it made them look scruffy and it made them look more authoritarian in the all black, for sure. But what is it that we want to portray?
Yes.
So they said that wearing the all-black uniform, you know, made them look more authoritarian, but it was kind of at odds with neighbourhood policing, where they're supposed to look bad but be good, you know, be friendly with everybody, and yet look very unapproachable. And I found that that was certainly a cause for contention.
And how did officers sort of marry all of that in with, you know, you mentioned they said that they felt sometimes that the material was itchy or whatever. How do officers, you know, do they tend to have a kind of very practical utilitarian view of the uniform, or do they see it in other ways as well?
Well, they said they, when I said I was doing my research on the uniform, they seemed really excited, and they said, "Oh, when you go back to head office, please can you tell them that the material is really terrible?"
Yeah.
So I thought that was amusing that they thought I had any power whatsoever to change the material of the uniform. But they did say that once they changed away from the white shirts, that it was, although it was more practical to sort of run around and if they needed to, they weren't a fan of how it looked, for sure. Certainly in the north, where they were wearing, you know, the black vest tops and the black cargo pants. And they did say that they wished it was more professional looking.
Yes. Yeah. How did it play out in, I know this is a big part of it too, in gender terms, how did that sort of play out? I mean, more, you know, generally about views of the uniform, because it tends to be a uniform that's designed with men in mind, I think it's fair to say.
Yes, well, that was what I based my, well, I based my current paper on, that because this is such a huge area and something that took a long time to figure out how to propose changes to, because most of the uniforms are designed with men in mind, for sure. And even to this day, they are designed for men. You know, a woman said to me that she got asked in training what her collar size was. And of course, all women know that that has never been a viable question. And, you know, women have been known to take their stud vest off because it doesn't fit them properly around the bust area, and their pants are riding too high because they're cut too deep into their hips for men. So, you know, there is this real sense of putting the uniform on, it reminds them every day that they're still in a man's job.
I mean, that's just, I mean, you know, I believe that, but it's astonishing, really, isn't it? We think there's, you know, women are not that underrepresented. Women are not that underrepresented. They're still underrepresented, but, you know, what is it, 25-30% of the workforce or something like that? I mean,
yeah, and it's more 45% of the neighbourhood policing, which is obviously much better. But I do think that we still have design flaws that women are just not talking about, or they just don't want to make a fuss. And I think this is the trouble. Mm. It's only when somebody else comes in and asks them directly about it that they then say, oh, yeah, I've not mentioned it, but actually this doesn't fit me very well and I've just taken to wearing my own thing. You know, it was a big media scandal a couple of years ago in Spain where a PC had to buy her own stud vest at a cost of £500 because the one they gave her didn't fit her. And a PC in London, I think she's called PC Mackay, got fatally stabbed by taking her stud vest off before entering a property because it wasn't fitting her properly. So, I mean, they are rare cases, few and far between, I think it's enough to say that we need to desperately do something about that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And did different ages, I mean, not age in terms of physical age, but age in terms of length of service, did that seem to make any difference to how officers looked at, I mean, I'm wondering about, you know, is this sort of stereotype of the older officer looking back and wishing that, you know, the uniforms were like they used to be back in the day sort of thing. Did that come through at all?
I didn't notice that as such. It was more that, I suppose, the officers that I did do field work with, they were all under maybe 45. So, because often the ones that are older are back in the office.
Yeah, yes, of course.
But they did... You know, they did say that the longer they had been in the job, the more they didn't really notice it as much, because supposedly if you're putting the same uniform on every day, you don't really think about it. Mm. Whereas it was the ones, I met three officers that had literally just finished training a month before. So it was really interesting to speak to them after a few months and say, how's it all going? How are you feeling? How does it feel with the uniform now? And they said, you know, within a few weeks, kind of the novelty had worn off. That pride thing had worn off, and they ended up, you know, I think it's very easy to slip into old attitudes about policing.
Yes.
And I think that becomes quickly entrenched, and the uniform is so closely associated with their job, it's hard to separate the two sometimes.
Yes, I suppose so. Tell me a bit more about the research then. It was an ethnographic study, something, you know, often worth talking about. It sounds like an interesting experience. How did you find it?
I think ethnography was the best thing for me to do at that time, but it was very hard to pull out people's opinions on the uniform when they didn't really understand why I was asking them about the uniform on a day-to-day job.
Yeah.
But I suppose it takes some real thinking about, you know, how do you feel in your uniform in your day-to-day? You know, if somebody asked me why I'm wearing what I'm wearing today or why I chose those things, you don't, you know, it's so innate, you just don't think about it.
Yes.
And I think that they needed time to think about what that uniform meant to them when they first put it on and what it meant to them now. So it was quite difficult to get them to really think deeply. But once it started coming out, they started saying little things like, you know, it's really important that I shower at the end of the day. And I said, oh, you know, why is that so important to you? And they said, because, you know, we feel that, you know, initially the symbolic power is entrenched in this bodily image of the uniform. Mm. But the clothes and the bodies that wear them can be understood as like vehicles through which your work can be seen. So when it's taken off, I think that that was important to them. You know, this immediate removal of the uniform was really necessary for them to sort of stop work. It's like clocking off at the end of the day, I suppose. It doesn't really feel like it's finished until you've done that, you know, these various rituals.
But these are particularly sort of, yes, I understand that, but these are particularly sort of cleansing rituals, though, aren't they? So, you know, that probably doesn't apply in other jobs in quite the same way. How did, you know, just talk me through that a bit more, the dirty work idea.
So I actually didn't propose that I was going to look at that, because it wasn't something that came up very often when I was interviewing officers for my master's. And I was thinking, you know, a few officers had said a couple of things, and I thought, actually, I'm going to look into this a little bit more. So when I went back out after a couple of months, I started speaking to some officers about when they go and see, when they go to, like, particularly dirty jobs. And when I say dirty jobs, I don't even mean anything particularly what we would regard as filthy, but it was just this violation of body territory, which was really important to them. You know, members of the public touching them, for example, or when they've had to arrest someone, that particularly dirty aspect of their job was really important to them to get rid of.
Mm.
So, you know, the uniform, I suppose, is seen as this physical layer to protect them from contamination. But it was actually more to them than that. It was about the removal of this at the end of the day to rid themselves of symbolic contamination as well, because they don't necessarily have to have touched anyone. They don't necessarily have had to have been near anything that was particularly dirty, but it was this feeling of, God, that was a really hard situation. I need to remove myself from this. I need to sort of cleanse myself. And I think that this is where this idea of rituals of purification came out. And I saw, you know, during my research, I saw the similarities in other jobs, like prison officer jobs and nurse, you know, the nursing aides, when they spoke about this need to take their uniform off completely. So it's not just about the uniform, but they're often seen wearing protective items such as gloves, and they we talked about using spit hoods.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. It's it kind of points to the kind of emotionality and the sensory nature of, well, I suppose every workplace, but in policing and probably criminal justice more widely. I know colleagues who've done work in prisons, for example, say that one of the things that comes through time and time again is the level of noise inside a prison environment. Mm. And, you know, it's something that is sort of difficult to convey in to people who don't know of it, but, you know, that kind of constant loud noise all the time is a kind of, you know, is a really important part of the experience, a really negative important part of the experience. And I suppose there's something of that in what you're describing here, isn't there? I suppose it feels that way.
I think I only noticed it when I was with two officers who had spoken to a really drunk man inside a hotel. When we got back in the car, one of them got a hand sanitizer out. He gave it to his friend, and I said, why, what are you doing? And he said, oh, yeah, I always use this. You know, it just makes me feel really, like, dirty. I said, I'm going to clean myself up for the next job. And I thought it was really odd, because I've definitely not seen any sort of close interaction.
Yes.
And I suppose not, it kind of felt a bit disrespectful to me that, you know, he kind of deemed that to be so dirty that he had to use hand sanitizer. But the more time went on that I spent with these officers and others as well, I noticed that there was like a preempt that they were going to be dirty. So there was the wearing of the gloves. One officer sprayed his top often with aftershave before he went in houses just so he could smell himself and not the people or the houses. And I thought it was really interesting that they were anticipating that they would feel dirty from these jobs, and therefore they needed to sort of protect themselves in some way. Mm. And they felt like they couldn't do that. Because obviously, you know, police officers do tend to deal with people who are physically dirty, vomiting, defecating on themselves sometimes. So I think it's important for them to protect themselves, like anticipatory protection, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. And there's sort of, well, I'm just still sort of wondering about your position in all of that. I mean, what was it? You know, was it, did you enjoy doing the ethnographic part of it? Was it tough? I'm sure it was all of those things, but.
I'm naturally really nosy, so I loved it. And that was, you know, that's the best part of my job, managing to do research.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's nothing that I'd ever seen before. Yeah, I don't come from a policing background, and I'd never experienced things like that. So I think it was, I think I made it hard for myself trying to look deeper into like the psychological and symbolic aspects of these things rather than, you know, the practical side of policing. That was hard for sure, to really pull out the theoretical side of it. But I think it made it worthwhile in the end because it's, you know, it's branched out into other things, thinking about PTSOs, like the dirty work side of it, how gender plays a big part in the design and procurement of the police uniform. I think it just shocks me that in 2020 we're still dealing with these problems.
Absolutely.
And when they make these changes, it always seems to be changes that they don't ask, you know, the rank and file about. It's always made, decisions are made by people who have been off the streets for years and don't really. It feels like to me they're not making very good decisions.
Yes, yeah, people who don't wear the uniform very often.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes wear the ceremonial uniform. I think that's another thing that fascinates me is that, you know, on the one hand, yeah, exactly, you have the kind of cargo pants and the black polo neck top and the baseball cap, but officers also, you know, turn out in their ceremonial uniform sometimes, which, you know, again, well, as academics, we dress up in capes and gowns a couple of times a year, but, you know, not many jobs that do that. Did they talk about that at all?
To be fair, no. I didn't ask about that.
Uh-huh.
But they just, I suppose because they wear this normal practical uniform every single day, that's the only one that they can relate to the most. But it really made me think about it yesterday when that MP has been absolutely trolled on Twitter for wearing a one-shoulder dress in the House of Commons.
Yes, yes.
And I was speaking to my students about this yesterday, and I was saying, what is it about clothing that is appropriate or inappropriate? What does it mean to everybody? Because these meanings, of course, have to be shared and they have to be accepted by every member of society to, you know, ensure that they are received in the same way, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, legitimacy is so tied up in things like the uniform and authority and how we do the police.
Mm.
But these choices that we make or the choices that the designers make are really, really important on how we view our police officers. And I think I find it quite frustrating when I speak to people about it and they say, but why are you so bothered? Why are you so bothered about the uniform? So that's why your project is so exciting, because it is visible policing that is the foundation of everything, isn't it? Because
well,
why would we care what the public thinks? But of course it matters. Everything matters.
Well, of course it does, yeah. And it's but I think it's also getting that view from the inside that's, as you said before, really, is something that's not been widely looked at. And, you know, and it does, I mean, just to get, without wishing to get into just lots of anecdotes, but, you know, we've been talking to an officer recently, and I remember one saying that, you know, when they do the, you know, they have the difficult job of knocking on a door to report that there's been a sudden unexpected death, you know, the death knock that police officers talk about sometimes. And how that when he does those, he'll make sure that he goes back to the go back to the station first and put a proper shirt and tie on and comb his hair.
Really?
And make himself.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, because he said, you know, it's just not appropriate to turn up and do something like that dressed in a, you know, in a polo top and a scruffy hat, you know. And I just thought that, yeah, again, it's quite reflective, actually, of the officer.
Sure.
And I just wonder about, as you say, really, whether some of the images of officers are, not the images, the way that they dress might be sort of very practical and very, you know, might be more comfortable, and, you know, I get all of that, but it does seem to communicate something to the public. So it's interesting to think about how they perceive of that themselves.
I think the times are changing, you know, since the whole terrorist attacks, we are so more used to seeing officers in London in King's Cross Station, for example, with the big guns.
Mm.
We're a lot more used to seeing firearms officers, and often I'd say to students, is this image reassuring to you?
Yeah.
Or is it scary? You know, I think that we have moved away from this professional Bobby on the beat look where everybody would find very approachable, very friendly. Are we actually more interested and more wanting of an officer that can protect us?
Yes.
And I mean, of course, all officers do have that job, and I'm sure they can carry out that out the same. But I think the government is more interested in what the public want to see. And I think this is why we have seen a mass reduction of PCSOs.
Yes.
Because their perception was very poor with the public, that they were just not useful as police officers. And I am very much supportive of PCSOs, but I do think that this is very much reflective of the times that we are after the belligerent-looking, you know, superhero rather than the friendly neighbourhood Bobby.
Yes, yes, I think that's really interesting. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, well, great to speak to you, Camilla, and thanks very much for coming on. There's loads more that we could talk about, and maybe we'll get another chance to do one of these when we've got some more stuff around PCSOs and dirty work and everything else in other contexts. But
thanks, Mike.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. This podcast is produced as part of an Economic and Social Research Council funded study, Visible Policing. For more information, visit visiblepolicing.com.